It's time for Twig This Week in Google. I am filling in for the world traveler Leo Laporte. We've got Jeff Jarvis. We've got Stacey Higginbotham. We're going to talk pretty much almost entirely Google this week. We've got Samsung's continuing mess with the battery explosions. We've got hardware announcement by Google announced. We've got, we've got so many other things. Oh, how could I even forget? Allo, the messaging app that we've all been waiting for, is finally released. We're going to dive deep into that app up next on This Week in Google.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig This Week in Google, episode 371 for Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. Perfectly paranoid, yet oddly convenient. This Week in Google is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twig and enter promo code TWIG. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/twig and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's www.wealthfront.com/twig. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. It's time for This Week in Google. Twig, I love it when Leo goes out of town. I know that sounds weird. It's not because I don't enjoy him being here, but it usually means that I get to fill in on This Week in Google. And besides, he's having a lot more fun than any of us right now on his travels, vacation around the world. I'm Jason Howell, filling in for Leo, and I'm super psyched to be here, joined as always, and really happy to talk once again to Jeff Jarvis. How's it going, Jeff?
Hey. I'm glad to be back. I was gone for 2 weeks. But I'm here. Like it or not?
I like it. I do not choose not. I choose like it. Where were you?
Working. Oh, I think okay. I was, I went to the Online News Association in Denver. And I had something else. I forget what it was.
Okay. Well, now
it's an exciting life I lead. I don't even remember what I do.
That's my life every single day. It's like I get through the weekend. They're like, so how was your weekend? I don't know. I think it was good. I don't know what I did, but it was good. Also joining me on the show, Stacey Higginbotham. How's it going, Stacey?
It's going great. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. I haven't done Twig with you since you've become part of the Twig family. So it's really nice to do this with you.
Well, you're in for a treat, fella.
Excellent. Well, I know. I know that I've podcasted in forums, I think on Tech News Today with Stacey in the past at least once or twice.
I'm feisty. You gotta be careful.
She's also excitable.
I appreciate both qualities. We've got a lot of stuff to be excitable about this week. What do you guys think?
We do indeed.
This has been kind of a crazy week for news. And this time around, I mean, there's tons of Google stuff to talk about this week, which is perfect for a show called This Week in Google. I think we kind of have to start with the obvious one, though. The thing that, as of last night when I wrapped up doing one of my other shows, Android App Arena, the very last app I reviewed on that show is usually reserved for, like, the big app of the week. And I picked wrong because Allo wasn't released yet. This episode's going to release this afternoon, so it's already outdated, basically.
Well, do that to Jason.
I'm going to leave my app pick for the end of the show because that's my pick of the week. I couldn't find anything else. But a close second, actually, it's first, it bests it, is the release of Allo. This happened last night. Allo is Google's kind of smart chat app, and it is now a thing that you can download on Android and iOS. Just go to the Play Store. No more waiting on the wait list. They had a pre-release thing that you could sign up for and get notified when it was done. It's out, and I feel like everybody has been using it and talking about it all morning long. What are your thoughts? Where do you guys come down on this new chat app, this new chat effort from Google?
Stacey, you're first.
Okay. I think it's fun. I love having everything integrated in there because I am the worst. The second I switch from one app to another screen to find something or look something up, I immediately forget whatever I was doing and focus on something completely different. Mm-hmm. So this is nice. I'm a little worried about Google kind of backtracking on the ability to kind of delete information or move chats to keep some of the chat information off their servers. So I'm kind of like, oh, dang it. Opt into encryption and the way to do it's a little awkward. And so far it's not retroactive. We tried to do that. So if you start a conversation and suddenly things get, you know, sensitive, you're like, oh, hold on. I got to start a new one in incognito mode.
You think that was a policy change or a technology limit?
I'm guessing it was probably a policy change based on, like, keeping the government placated. Yeah. Plus, it's also going to help Google develop a better product. I mean, the more information they can slurp, the better.
For sure, especially when it comes down to kind of the smart kind of AI stuff that's happening underneath, obviously. And I've got the interface up here if you want to take it, Carson. When you get replied, you know, or when you're sent a message, you get those little smart replies down at the bottom that appear similar to what you might get in inbox or whatever. I found them to be super accurate. So obviously Google knows what it's doing in analyzing how I talk to people, because it usually says exactly what I'm thinking about saying. So you just tap it and it sends it right off. But in order for it to do that, it needs to have unencumbered access to your conversation, both for the word that you might want to say at that moment and for the context that preceded that in order to get there. And so I think that's Google's rationale anyways, is, well, how else are we going to bring you this really cool, neat kind of predictive stuff if we don't then also have access to your conversation so we can analyze it and give you the things that we think you need or that you want? But
it might have been totally on point so far with the smart reply. Kevin Toefel and I were chatting back and forth, and it gave me, it wasn't actually right because we overlapped on our texting, but it was right based on the context of the words that we said. Did that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. And I mean, Google at I/O had said that all conversations would be stored in an unidentifiable way. And basically, I mean, I don't know why that changed. I don't know if it's a policy thing like you were saying, or maybe Google just thinks it allows them to, enables them to make a better product that will satisfy the needs of people wanting to use it. But I'm pretty disappointed in that too. I feel like the trend right now with messaging is more secure. And this feels like a big step backwards.
So let me understand. There's basically, one, you can do an incognito, you can do an encrypted, doesn't appear anywhere chat, right? But you have to do it in advance.
Yes, you can. Yes.
True. The second question is, so you can't encrypt the history, which I kind of get technically, but right. Stacey, your further suggestion is, you can't erase a chat if it's not encrypted.
So you can erase a chat. You can erase your whole history. Like I could delete our previous chats right here.
But can you erase one chat?
I don't know if I can erase one chat. Let's see if I can erase just
that. Would seem to help some things.
I'm not sure that you can. Like, I'm tapping and holding on some of the ones. Let's see if I can tap and hold on the last one that I dropped, which was me showing off how the text, you can make it bigger and smaller. Oh. And there's nothing I can do with that.
I can delete an entire thread. So I just deleted the entire conversation Kevin and I had this morning.
So you can delete the conversations for sure. You go out to your main list.
And it's deleted for Kevin as well.
That's a good question.
Ask him.
That's a really
Let's
good
see.
Question.
Let's see if he responds.
Ashamed of
Talk
me,
amongst
huh?
yourselves.
Huh?
Well, yeah. So I'm curious to know that actually. Obviously, if you send him a new message, he'll probably see it, and that'll be a new thread. But if I delete that conversation, does it then disappear from Kevin's list? Let's say that is a really good question. Well, sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll hear about that. Basically, as far as this whole security thing, you know, is concerned, Motherboard, Edward Snowden even has basically said, stay far away from Allo. Google easing up on the encryption protection basically is very bad for security. Of course, this has, you know, been the drum that Snowden has been beating for a few years now. I don't know. Is this, I mean, but I guess my question there is this anything more than what Google is already doing? You know, it already needs all this access to our emails, let's say, and we share way more about ourselves in email than we do in chat, or is that mistaken?
I don't think that's true for like young people. Yeah. I'm also going to tell you that Kevin got that's back true. And he said that our old thread is still in his chat. So I could delete it on my phone, but not his.
So
the point is that if you were trying to, having just done this dastardly perfect murder, Stacey.
I didn't know this about you, Stacey.
How did you know?
Things get more interesting.
She's diabolical. She's diabolical. You can be sure of it. Right. So you, so it's deleted from your view. We don't know that it's deleted from Google's database. And it certainly isn't deleted. Well, obviously, is it? Because Kevin still has it.
Yeah.
Right.
So either you have to encrypt going in or you're effed.
Basically.
But when you do that, of course, you don't get any of the extra bells and whistles that...
Yes. I won't get smart replies on my murder help. I'm thinking of dissolving a body in lie, Google. I've got a solution for you.
See, I told you, Jason. Do not cross her.
Apparently not. I'm going to be really careful on this show.
So what did Google promise at I.O.? So what is the backtracking here?
Google basically promised, from what I can remember, that by default, conversations were not going to be trackable to you, that they were going to store conversations for access within the app, but that it wouldn't be trackable to you in some way, that they would make it less identifiable, let's say.
And they also said they would store the messages transiently.
Right.
As opposed
there
to
we go. That's the word.
So it was, they promised end-to-end encryption incognito mode. And then the storing messages for a limited amount of time as opposed to forever. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying they're going to store all non-incognito messages by default. And it's unclear if it's going to be identifiable.
Right. So I don't know how I feel. I mean, I imagine it's just going to make those who don't like the fact that Google has lots and lots of information about you based on, you know, your usage of those products. It's going to make those people not want to use this. And there's going to be a whole other subset of people that are like, yeah, well, whatever. That's what
I think
Google does,
there's
going
to be a lot of. There'll be a lot of people caught out, and if you start using incognito mode, people are going to be like, well, why?
That's a good point.
That's the whenever you make these things opt in as opposed to default, well, yes, it make it a choice to go private.
Right.
People are like, why are you going private?
Right.
What have you got to hide?
Are you about to tell me about the body that you just buried? Or
see, but I, you know, I just told all of our listeners, so clearly I'm not worried.
Yeah,
well, they're friends. They're friends.
They are. They would never give me up.
They deserve to know.
No, they love you.
So the other part of Allo, of course. Well, I mean, we're talking about it kind of tangentially, but the Google Assistant hooks. And what can you do with Google Assistant? When you first load up the app, and I've got this up again here, you enter into a conversation with Google Assistant. And it allows you to do things like I played a game that I was very bad at, identifying movies based on emoji, essentially. So you can play games. You can, you know, solve riddles. They have quiz doodle games. Different functions around Assistant, like getting to know one another, essentially. Basically, I mean, what we heard about at I.O. that Allo would allow you to chat with Google Assistant.
So it wasn't very smart for me. So I just put in, I was downtown at Founders Forum. I put in lunch, ? It responded, let's find you something to eat. By the way, what kinds of food do you like? I'll remember and give you better options. So I answered, burgers, Mexican, Italian, fish. I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, no.
What kind of food do you like? I thought, okay, it needs a sentence. So I said, I like burgers, Mexican, Italian, fish. Still same response.
Commas? Are there commas in there? Burgers, comma?
There's commas.
Okay.
Maybe you should have just stuck with I like burgers.
Or just burgers, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Do I do it four times?
Right.
But one of their examples
do you like?
One of their examples to me was multiple things. I guess it just wasn't the... Noted. Anything else? Okay, let me try this. So I said yes.
There we go.
French. Yeah. No, I don't like French. Well, I do, but
Mexican.
Anyway. Mexican is my favorite.
Oh, come to Texas.
You bet. And so I just said Mexican, and it said no to anything else. So now I'm going to try Italian, French.
I like burgers. Noted anything else? It gave me I like burgers as an,
now it's
as
okay.
an auto-complete.
Oh, wait a second. I'm going to try fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It got it. I don't understand what happened to you, assistant.
So is it we actually giving you options?
And it gave me Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Hey, Google, I got better taste than that. What do you think I am? I'm not a tourist.
It should know this about you, Jeff. It's been.
You should be. Jesus, I live been, here.
Yeah, I'm getting Red Lobster and Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Jesus, Google. Surely, if you know me this well, you know I'm a classier guy than that. It's I'm like, very disappointed in your disappointment in me, Google.
Can they pay for that?
That's
can,
a good question.
If you're Red Lobster, can you pay to get better features in Aloe?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Now, how do I? Yeah, but so it's got Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and Le Bernardin, which is the polar opposites of culture in the world, right?
Well, you know, pick one, and if it sees you're eating at one or the other, then it'll give you maybe better recommendations going forward.
Le Bernardin, here's a brief.
I got Applebee's and IHOP, so, you know.
I'm not going to try anything now. I'm like, Jesus, you guys. This is terrible.
I mean, I also got some other ones. Namaste Kitchen, Cafe Giostra. Never heard of that one. Brazil Barbecue. But yeah, IHOP and Applebee's, which I believe are like right around the corner from the new studio. So maybe that's more purely based on location than anything.
And use it as my default. We're going to get the voice of Leo in a second as soon as I get my lights back.
Excellent.
So as soon as I got Aloe, I'm sitting in the conference, and I know he's on vacation, but I obnoxiously go to Leo, and I say, do you have Aloe yet? And he comes back, how'd you get it? I didn't see it on Android or iOS, but then I'm in France. Mixed feelings about that now. Then never mind, I just got a text on my 6P, Phi to the rescue. So he comes in another account. And Leo goes berserk. He's immediately the master, the ninja. France Schmance, I got Aloe. See, I hope this. I haven't played this. Here's audio.
What is Google playing at? I can't use it as my default text messenger on my Nexus 6P? Question mark.
It's just like having Leo here.
He's obviously using the voicemail feature as the voice entry feature, which they are two different things. Stacey, you were talking about this in our chat.
And then, so then I say, they're on their way to Stockholm for their cruise. So I said, I love Stockholm. You have to go to the Sturehof, which I've been trying to push him to, but he doesn't want to go because it has herring. But I said, it's not just herring. So then he, you know, the quick intro for the restaurant came up, you know, so it's got cool stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was chatting with Leo for quite a while this morning, actually. You can pull my screen here. He was waiting at the airport, so I think him I and Lisa were just kind of bored. And so we went for a long chat on here. And actually, one of the things that I really like about it is that audio message feature. Right now, I'm doing an episode of This Week in Google, Leo. Wish you were here. But really, you're having just a tad more fun than we are. Unless you're on an airplane. If that's the case, then I'm very sorry. So then I let go. That's going to send him a 10-second message. And
right now, I'm doing an episode of This Week in Google.
All right, and you heard me do it the first time. But it was really cool because, like, you start doing this. It's almost like this delayed, cloud-synced push-to-talk. Like, and not that voice messages are anything new, but the way that Aloe kind of surfaces it, it makes it really easy to use on the fly when you want to communicate something. Maybe typing it just seems like, God, am I going to seriously sit here for 15 seconds and swipe out my idea? I'm just going to record my video and move on with my day, or my audio and move on with my day. I really like that feature.
But there's no undo button.
No, there is not.
Which I was like, don't. So you got like 2 seconds of Stacey going, wait, ah.
Which I'm very happy to have.
Yes.
That's a really good point. I mean, once you hold that down, that thing, when you let go of it, it's sending. It's going. Whatever you say there, or if someone, you know, suddenly runs by yelling their social security number, there's nothing you can do to prevent that from happening.
That is true.
So compare Allo to Facebook Messenger to Google Hangouts to WhatsApp. What's your thoughts?
I haven't really used WhatsApp, so it's hard for me to compare it to that. But a lot of people are comparing this in many ways to WhatsApp. Personally, I don't know the comparison. I know the voicemail or the voice message thing is very similar, and a lot of the UI has similar kind of notes between the two. Leo mentioned on that audio message that you played that there's no SMS integration. A lot of people are upset with that, about the fact that you can't make this your SMS app. Google did note that at I/O, so that's not necessarily a surprise, but it's one of those kind of indicators that makes this whole like Google and messaging kind of conversation much more confusing, right? Google has so many different things going in messaging right now. They've got Allo for, you know, the smart chats between people. They've got Hangouts for messaging between people. I don't know, you know, the Messenger is for the SMS aspect. Hangouts is also for the SMS aspect, but now they've kind of removed some of the SMS functionality, so it's not as much. It's so confusing. I don't know how you compare it, because they're all different enough but similar enough, if that makes any sense.
With Hangouts, I think you can still turn a conversation incognito, or I think it's take it off the record in the middle of a conversation.
Yes, and I like that.
I do like that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, compared to WhatsApp, it feels like bringing WhatsApp in with some of the like nice features from Google Now. So like when you click on one of these restaurants, like Kevin and I were looking for restaurants in London, and he actually just typed, I want a steak dinner in London Saturday night. And it just brought up a bunch of restaurants, you know, in London, and being able to like look at the menu from in there and all of that stuff was really nice. I don't know.
And could you make a reservation from that point too? Like, I know some of these bots allow you to, I mean, go further with it.
So I clicked on a restaurant near me, and it gives me the option in this case to call, directions, pictures, menu, or it tells me to go to other places.
Right. So, yeah, I guess I have those results too. I could tap into it and see what happens here. Namaste. Okay, and it gives me the information that you would get in like an informational card on Google search if you were to do this.
Yeah.
I thought you were so I said I need to go to Berlin. I thought it would say, "Oh, do you want flights? Do you want this?" And it just gave me the, you know, the Brandenburg Gates there.
It didn't offer to teleport you there? Google. Yeah,
it's got a button for flights. And I'm not sure what I expect from a chat app.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, that's kind of nice.
It's nice to have this in here. I don't know, you know, again, I think it takes a little bit of programming on the user side to think about using a chat app for some of this stuff. Like, it's not the first thing that occurs to me, but maybe that's just because I haven't used a chat app for this sort of stuff very much yet. Maybe it'll make sense as I use it more, why I would choose Allo to, you know, do these searches.
Oh, this is cool.
What's up?
Sorry, as someone who travels a lot, I asked it, I need a hotel in Seattle. And one of the options was under $100 USD. So it gave me some hotels and some options, and I clicked the $100, and it just came up with a bunch of things for me. Like the Motel 6.
Excellent.
Which,
book it.
Done. I can't actually book it. Let's see, Motel 6. Yeah,
I thought you're better than that, Stacey. It won't let you because it wants you to stay in a nicer place.
I wasn't actually going to stay in the Motel 6. You're right.
Red Lobster, but it wants you to stay in the Four Seasons.
The first option was the Fairmont in Seattle. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's better, Stacey.
Classic.
So I went to Jeff. I don't know. You guys know Jeff Pulver? You must know Jeff Pulver, mm-hmm. Stacey. No?
I do.
What a wonderful guy. I said yesterday. I spoke. He has a new conference called, I don't know what the hell to pronounce this, Monage. Monage, about messaging. And he put together a wonderful group of people. I was the first speaker yesterday there. As I said there, Jeff is everybody's cousin. You know, we all love Jeff. But it was a conference about messaging, which included bots. There were some brilliant bot people there. And it is really just the beginning of this world.
Yeah.
In terms of being able to use natural language processing and AI to guess what you need and be able to bring some stuff back. But I do think that is Google behind Siri and behind Amazon? Yes, but I still think it has such capability that if it can hold on to this one and not pull a Wave on it and kill it, though I was wrong about Wave, I was wrong about all that stuff, it went by the wayside. But you'd think that they have the wherewithal to make this new and different.
Yeah, Google has a packaging problem.
Yeah.
They know what is cool. They just this week bought an AI company or a natural language processing company.
Mm-hmm.
So the API.ai startup. So maybe we'll get there.
That's right. Tools for speech recognition and natural language comprehension. Basically what that's all about. Better voice recognition, better understanding of commands. You can see this completely tie in with what we're talking about with Assistant potentially. And I mean, I should also add, like, Assistant is kind of it's like Google Now 2.0 essentially, or probably even further than 2.0 at this point. There, you know, suddenly mentions of Google Now in the Google app are disappearing. I think there's a single mention where there used to be a number of different mentions in there. Now on Tap is now named Screen Search within that app. Now cards are renamed to Feed. So they're preparing this transition from Google Now, which we are very used to using for being our, you know, somewhat assistant, to Assistant being our total voice assistant, comparable to something like Siri or whatever, as far as what you were talking about, Jeff. So that transition is happening, it seems like.
What's the voice prompt?
It's still okay, Google.
Okay, Google. I would guess.
Sorry.
Okay, we just messed up the whole world.
If Stacy didn't do it, I did it, because we both did it back to back. So apologies to everyone. But hey, it still works.
But when I apologized, I got the Sorry song from Justin Bieber.
Google really does know what we want.
Yes.
So I finally today got the 7.0 download, the Nougat download for my Nexus 6.
Oh, excellent.
I'm putting it on right now.
How's it treat? Let me know next week how it treats your battery, because mine has been.
Oh, no.
Has yours been bad?
Because I test a lot of things, my phone is not as consistent, but I feel like the battery has been draining faster. So I feel like I'm getting about an hour less battery usage.
You're not alone. There are definitely people that are complaining about that. I have not noticed that on mine, which I'm really surprised about, because usually that stuff hits me for the same reason it does for you. I install so many apps and uninstall so many apps and make so many changes to my settings because of the shows that we do around here. Like, I'm always monkeying with my phone, so I always expect it to be the worst of the worst when it comes to stuff like that. But I've not really noticed much battery difference. So I don't know, but definitely you're not alone. There are a lot of people complaining about that.
And someone in our chat actually put a link to the story about boot loops on Nougat with 5X owners. And I actually had that issue, you guys. And
what happened?
I uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and that didn't help. But then it went away. Hmm. So I'm not. So what happened?
Magically fixed.
I will say that I had that same thing, and it was really frustrating because I would pick up my phone and it would just be bricked or it'd be off. And I'm like, what just happened? So it says that this is a hardware related issue and you should contact your place of purchase for warranty or repair options. I bought it from Google, so I suppose I could call them, but it seems to have stopped. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I mean, if it's doing it and they're offering a replacement, yeah, I guess if it happens again, take them up on that, because you might as well have a perfect device, not a subpar device. Although the 5X,
there is no such thing.
I was going to say the 5X, there is no such thing as perfect 5X, because it's just had issues all around, I think. So that's Allo. Any final thoughts on Allo before we move on? I think it's so new, we have to spend time playing with it and everything, but I don't know. I like what I see. I just don't know if I'm really thrilled about moving, like my wife over to it and teaching, you know what I mean? Like moving people into this new thing when I've already done that a million times.
So what's the compatibility with SMS?
Oh, that's None? Actually a really good point. So, okay, yeah. So there is no SMS. You cannot make this your SMS app. So your SMS has to come into another app, let's say. If you send a message to someone from your contacts list or a number that is not registered as being a user of Allo, right. You know, Google determines this. Your Allo account is tied to your phone number, and you can only your conversations don't move from device to device. So if I have a conversation with you, you both on this device, and I move to another device, even though I put in my account, that's not going to follow me over there. So it's all tied to your number and your device. It's a little confusing. But if I send a message to someone through SMS using Allo that doesn't have an Allo account, depending on where they're at and what OS they're using, if they're on Android and they're in the US, they're going to get this little toast message in Android. And it's going to be the message relayed through Google servers via SMS, but sent to their phone, not in their SMS app, but in this like toast message to say, here's the message. Do you want to reply via SMS or do you want to install the app so you can do it? You it actually kind of looks a little spammy. It looks a little spammy and weird.
Do you get that every time or is it a one-time choice?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's an every time or one-time choice thing. I know that. And then the number that's associated with it is like a shortened number in the U.S. And I can't remember the reason. I think some FCC requirement around that aspect of it. But if you're outside of the U.S. in certain places, you'll get the full phone number, that the originating phone number that it was sent from. So it's a little confusing. I don't know how I feel about it, but I understand why they're doing it, because they want to drive adoption of the app. But the whole SMS aspect is a little strange. So that is that. I will take that as a reason to take a break here and move on, because we've got even more crazy news, hardware news for Android here coming up. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we do, let's take a minute to thank Casper, the sponsor of this episode. I sleep on a Casper every single night, be it in my actual bedroom or be it in my kids' bedroom. When our kids come into our bed and kick us out, I end up in their bed, and they have a Casper too. So we love Caspers in our house. Casper's an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Casper's actually changing the way that you buy mattresses. They're revolutionizing this, the mattress industry, by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they pass that savings on directly to you, the consumer. Casper's mattress is obsessively engineered, and it's a fair price. You'll see when you go to the site and check it out for yourself. Casper combines two technologies. There's a springy latex foam and then also a supportive memory foam as well. And that creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. You're going to fall asleep almost immediately when you lay down on this thing. The Casper mattress is a 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award winner. Casper mattress provides long-lasting comfort that's going to last you a really long time, and support. And it's got a breathable design, so you don't end up like super hot at night. It keeps you cool, keeps you regulated, your temperature regulated throughout the night so that you're comfortable throughout. You can buy it easily online. That's a big part, a big component of what Casper's doing differently here. It's completely risk-free. You can try on a Casper mattress in your home, basically. Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress, that in all reality, you're going to spend a third of your life on these things, so you better get it right. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down in a showroom for like 2 minutes and go, yep, that's the one. We actually did that in our oldest daughter's room when we upgraded her to a bed, and it's the bed that no one wants to sleep in. Because it's not as comfortable as the Casper. Casper offers just a whole lot more. The engineering underneath, the engineering of the mattress meets that the kind of magical Goldilocks standard of just right. So it's not too hard, not too soft. And Casper mattresses uphold the highest environmental production standards. They're made in the USA, free shipping, and returns to the US and Canada. So if you want to drop a pineapple on your Casper mattress like you're seeing in the ad here, get a Casper mattress today. $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. Compared to industry averages, that's, I think you can agree, that's an outstanding price. And you can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/twig and entering promo code TWIG. That's casper.com/twig. and make sure and enter the promo code TWIG. Terms and conditions apply. Check it out. You're going to sleep really good once you get one of these bad boys in your home. And we thank Casper for their continued support of This Week in Google and the Twit Network. All right, so I think the good transition at this point from Allo and Assistant, especially because there's going to be some Assistant, I have to imagine, in some ways at the event. But Google announced officially, we'd kind of heard off and on through the rumor mill that this was going to happen and that this date, October 4th, was the date that we were going to get a hardware announcement from Google. And sure enough, they unveiled their announcement. They have a teaser site. It's madeby.google.com. And, you know, you can go there and see, well, a little teaser. I mean, it's like a search box that slowly morphs into the shape of a phone. And that's about all you get. Like a little carousel of pictures through there, which, I mean, we still don't even know if those pictures were taken with the phone or phones that'll be announced at the event.
And is it just phones as far as the rumor mill says?
No, so it's not. So what we're looking at as far as what we've heard and, you know, things that we're expecting by the end of the year. So we've got the Pixel phones. So Nexus branding out, Pixel branding in for their phones. Those would be the two HTC devices, the Pixel and the Pixel XL. So a smaller 5-inch version and then a larger one. I can't remember the size of the larger one, if it's 5.7 inches or what. Yeah, these are some leaked photos because it's about that time where everybody's, you know, dripping these out to the press so we can all get excited about them. Made by HTC, which kind of goes counter to the slogan made by Google, personally.
Yeah.
That's how I feel anyways.
Yeah.
Brought that up last night on All About Android, and I think I was outnumbered in that belief. I don't know. I feel like it's a little disingenuous to say this is made by Google when it's not. And none of the other Nexus devices were made by Google. They weren't making that claim then.
Well,
you know?
the Pixel computer and tablet were made by Google. Yes,
exactly. And they have the Google design stamp on them. You know, they have a very different kind of design approach. And to me, that looks made by Google. And I just feel like calling these made by Google when they're not, it just feels a little weird to me.
So what else is coming out, though?
So we got those. Potentially, we've got a tablet by Huawei. Possibly, it would be the 7P, you know, because we got...
So I'm eager for a 7-inch to come back. I loved my 7-inch. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, every Googler, a lot of Googlers I know, still carry their old Nexus 7s. They're attached to them.
Yeah, they're a good, solid device. So we might see that. That's expected by year's end, based on what we've read. I think it would be really strange for that to release or, you know, be announced outside of this event. This event seems like it would be the catch-all for all that stuff.
Any rumors of a Chromebook Pixel?
I haven't heard anything about that. No,
that depresses me since they aren't selling them anymore. That really depresses me.
Maybe that's a really good secret. Maybe you know, like we hear a lot of these things ahead of time. That would kind of make sense if Google's got, especially if they're moving to the Pixel branding, you know, for a larger family of devices. You know, and the device that started it all, the Pixel gets an update. You know, the Chromebook Pixel gets an update. I don't know, but that's total speculation. 4K Chromecast, which I guess the 4K Chromecast was potentially going to be released earlier this year. It missed some sort of a release or announcement, so that didn't happen. So people are thinking we're probably going to see that here. And then a big part of Android right now, at least part of Nougat, is Daydream, which is the virtual reality layer, let's say, baked into Android OS, as well as the Daydream spec for hardware. So there are rumors that are saying a Daydream View, be called the Daydream View headset, might be showing off. I think it's very likely we're going to hear something about a VR and maybe some sort of hardware shown off for VR, because these phones, I have to imagine, are built with Daydream in mind, especially the fact that Daydream is a component of Nougat. So, I mean, you have to, like... Here's what we were talking about at I.O. Here it is. I don't know. Any of that stuff excite you? Stacey, what do you think?
No, because I'm not a huge tablet, or I use a MacBook instead of, I'm sorry, a
don't
Pixel
be sorry.
Or a Chromebook.
Yeah.
And so none of that's super exciting. I am waiting for the Google Home stuff,
mm-hmm.
the 4K Chromecast. I'm like,
Yeah, Google Home. That's the other part that I actually missed, and that's actually a really exciting one too because it's got the assistant.
Do we think that's coming out October 4?
Yeah,
we do. We think they're going to give us a lot more detail about that.
Yeah.
And so Kevin TOEFL and I talk about this a little bit, and I'd love to get y'all's opinion.
I love now it when you talk Texan.
Sorry, it's more efficient. So it is. You've got Google Home, and you're going to be talking to it, and I'm going to say it again, you guys. Should Google name their assistant? So Google's named assistant, but should it have a person's name?
Yeah. Like,
because I feel like...
Stacy.
You put, yes, like Stacy. That would be, I would hate them if they did that.
So we're Jarvis, we can so never, my wife.
Jarvis.
My wife would hate them too, because their name's Stacy.
Yes, like Jarvis. So yeah. Yes, you can do that. But I'm just thinking, you know, wouldn't that be a little bit more fun in the home? Make it a little bit more like Alexa has a seat at our table, basically. When we talk at the dinner table, it's time to settle an argument or ask something. We actually try her first. Sometimes she doesn't get it, and then we move to Siri. And only then will we actually talk to Google because, I don't know, it's just not. She doesn't belong at the dinner table. It doesn't belong. See, Google's still an it to me, whereas all the others are she's.
Well, I mean, is the difference... Well, I guess Siri would be this way. I was thinking, is the difference the fact that it's an appliance versus a device? Like, I always feel weird pulling out my phone, let's say, at the dinner table, at home, anyways. When I'm out with friends, maybe not as much.
Feel weird just yelling to the air?
I don't know. Like, if it's an appliance, then it's there. It's not like you're going out of your way to tell everyone, all right, wait a second. Let me pull it up this wall between us and ask this thing a question. You all have equal opportunity to just kind of throw it out there and use it because it's always there. Working.
You know, I'm fascinated as we negotiate our new norms in society around all this. I really am.
Yeah.
It fascinates me that to you, the idea of playing with the phone, and let me just ask Google, is somehow more impolite than, hey, Google, when was FDR born?
I think
it's the ether.
We've developed a way to like manage this, which is, okay.
I'll bet you have.
We're arguing over something. Oh, I think it's this or I think it's that. And then we're like, all right, let's let Alexa decide. Hey, Alexa. Da, 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 da. So it's very much a negotiated thing. I mean, like socially, we bring her in as opposed, and there's a moment for people to be like, no, let's not bring a device into this.
No, so don't invite Alexa again. Man, dinner is just never the same once Alexa's in.
Every dinner. She's such a know-it-all.
So you can't, okay, that's interesting. You can't just blurt out in the middle of nothing when you have a curiosity or you're asking something. You just turn and say, I don't know, when was that? Hey, Alexa, when was that? You can't do that.
You could in that situation, but we've got my daughter, my husband, and I, and we're usually like in a conversation, so... Right. And I would like to bring up, because people are talking about being able to give your own name to these things. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a really difficult problem for the hardware and the computer scientists working on voice recognition. Oh. So it's worth noting that deciding what to call one of these devices wake word for one of these devices is actually difficult because... They have to understand. They have to make sure the false positives are kept to a minimum, mm-hmm. and that it responds whenever you say something. So it's got to be well trained into the computer in a bunch of different ways, accents, and you throw it in the middle of a lot of different inputs because you don't always get this pure play Alexa.
Right.
Sometimes it's like across the room or hey this or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean the average person would not. Put any thought into, I'm going to give it this name and the fact that that name actually sounds very close to this other phrase or, you know, two or three syllables that you say all the time in conversation. So that wake word is, you know, constantly the AI is just thinking that it's being woken up when it's in fact not. No normal person would think about that. They just go, I really like the name Bud, so I'm going to do that. And that sounds a lot like a lot of other words. So,
right.
Yeah.
Like butt.
I wasn't going to say it, but there you go.
Every time you say butt. No, I don't mean butt like that. I mean, but on the other hand.
Both.
Both, see both where kinds your mind of, goes how immediately.
Both kinds of butts. That's all I'm saying. There are lots of different ways that you can use that word.
Butts are probably a big thing in his house.
It's, well, plus, you know what else
is
going to happen?
It's a constant struggle.
The six-year-old is going to come in and sabotage it and name it fart.
I would laugh at that when I
Yeah, you would every time. That. Yeah, because yeah. we're Howard. Yeah, that's a Howard Stern thing. That's why farts are funny.
Yeah,
Casey's trying to hope we can pass this very quickly.
No, that I'm like I would giggle. There used to be a Cardinals player named Albert Pujols, and I would giggle literally every time he came up to bat.
I never thought of it like that before.
Because I'm six inside.
I've heard his name a million times. I've never thought of it like that before.
I ruined it, but he no longer
he just
plays
ruined me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's
the
okay.
past tense of to drive in German is fart, and every German student on the earth just giggles every single time it's said in America.
Oh, man. I'm sorry that when I come on this show, it devolves to conversations.
No, I pretty much do that, Jason.
Okay, good. All right, good. Not alone. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. There was on the same day as the announcement of the hardware, Google started this big advertising blitz, and it's kind of ongoing, right? There was an ad run on the Big Bang Theory. There was a leak of the phone. I don't know if it's a leak or if it's intentional or what, but a Nest ad that was ran in the Netherlands had a front and back shot of a device that matches up with the leaks of the Pixel phone. So I don't know if that like was a premature ad or if that was meant to come out after the actual announcement.
Now, does anything look different about this phone, really?
It looks pretty close. I didn't scrutinize it, but...
Is there a headphone
jack? Is there anything that new about this, the hardware?
Oh, you mean just in general, what sets this hardware apart from... I don't know. Looks...
It looks like it has only one camera in the back, right? Not two.
Yeah, one camera, a big flash.
Parallax view stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really look very, very different to me. But it doesn't have a periscope like the 6P did in the leaks. So I don't know what to expect. But I know.
But they did say, didn't someone say that it was going to cost $649?
Premium price for these devices, yes.
The small one, right?
The small one. There it is.
Yeah. So this is obviously leaked information. So that could change. But I mean, that puts it squarely in the Samsung Galaxy S7 range of cost for these things.
You know, not pretty inexpensive. Unlike Leo, I don't have an expense account. I pretty much buy every new one that comes out. My 6P is still a good phone. This is maybe the one time I don't know. I might skip.
Yeah,
because also if they do come out with a new Chromebook Pixel, I need to save my bucks for that.
Yeah,
and if they don't,
I'm gonna cry.
Okay, Jeff,
I'm just gonna break down and cry right here in front of you all. It's gonna be very sad.
You could get the 7-inch tablet.
No, doesn't do it. Doesn't do it.
No, okay.
I am using my Pixel C. My Pixel C. I get all these. I'm getting all confused.
Yeah,
I use that a lot. Use that a lot. I travel.
I will be excited that when they combine all the brands together, because I'm like Pixels, Chromebooks, Nexi, Nexuses.
Well, speaking of combining things and like accounts. So the new travel app is wrong, right? The Google Travel thing?
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh, yeah. The plan helps you plan your trip.
She says, Of course, Jeff installs it, and guess what happens?
Oh, the app's attacked.
Your account administrator, it won't work. It won't do this. It won't do that. I don't know how to do it.
That's a lesson that will apparently never be learned. apparently, because every single product that happens that they release,
Newman!
That happens. Well, that's a bummer. It's a good app. I'll talk about it a little later.
Okay. Sorry about that.
We're ruining your picks here.
This is effectively a tease at this point. This is a tease forward into the future. Foreshadowing into the future. Let's see here. What else we've got? Well, we've got the ongoing saga of Samsung. You guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Feel bad for Samsung.
I do too.
They finally got their act together. They made a a decent phone. They got everything going, and then they're blowing up the world. I really do feel bad for them.
Yeah, I do too, Jeff. Because, I mean, by all accounts, everything was going well leading up to the Note 7, right? The Galaxy S7 Edge was selling like crazy. Sales were just starting to slow down a little bit, so it made sense, as Samsung usually does this time of year, to release the Note 7 to kind of bring that bump back up, lead into the holiday season, be strong throughout, compete with Apple, all that sort of stuff. And, of course, what news is coming out right now, I think Bloomberg has had a story that said that the reason for the battery mishap, if you want to call it that, is that Samsung was so focused on beating Apple to market based on an iPhone that they thought that they had heard that was a weak iteration of the iPhone. And so, you know, they placed even more pressure on suppliers and manufacturers to kind of speed things up, and in doing so, missed some critical errors.
Is the Note 7 brand dead? Does it come back? Do you get replaced with a new Note 7? What's the deal?
Well, so they have the official recall. Today was the day that Samsung said they would make sure that 500,000 replacement Note 7s would be available for exchange. So you go to retail stores where you bought your device, you can now go there and get that Note exchanged with another one. They also have other plans that you can do. You can get a refund entirely and not get a Note 7, or you could, you know, get the difference refunded to you, I think, for getting like an S7 or an S7 Edge. So they should have stock of Note 7s now, apparently.
They're safe. Okay.
Yes. And those would be seen as
And is it sure that we know which ones are dangerous?
Because that's an important thing to know. So Samsung is basically putting a green battery indicator on devices that are safe. And this is kind of interesting because it goes against Google's spec for Android. But Hiroshi Lockheimer actually said on Twitter, like, they made an exception and worked with Samsung to come up with an alternative on this because the scenario was just so, you know, important.
But so I've flown 4 times since this happened, and then boy, they announce on every flight.
Wow,
they do.
Don't use it. So what happens now is, no, everybody's okay. Oh yeah, sure. Don't you turn that on? you know, that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, how do you undo the damage that's caused for people who own it? And a lot of people, there was something in the, I want to say it was in USA Today, about not a lot of people are opting for Android or for Note 7s. They're opting for other phones like the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. So
just 25% Note 7s. Samsung says only 25% has been exchanged so far, regardless of the availability of a replacement device.
Yeah, she's going to change hers, but she was holding on to hers until she's like, it's not going to explode, Stacey. So
take
it. She's ready to shoulder that risk. She
feels sounds like a hard-bitten mom.
We're all weak for listening to recalls.
Does she charge it next to her bedside at night? I hope not.
Man, she leaves it next to like some oily rags and leaves the house.
That is not smart, Stacey's mom. Don't do that. There's also actually a warning. From what I understand, Samsung will put up a warning on your device. I don't know if it's at boot or whatever, but if you have one of the affected devices, when you boot it up, it's like a full screen.
It says,
like,
turn this off, idiot.
It says, don't do this. Take it back. Get the refund. Or get a new one or whatever.
Oh, man.
Well, that's good, actually. So this is a place where connected devices have a huge advantage. Because, like, I don't know, as a parent, I remember, like, all the, like, we bought a crib and later it was recalled. And so now that crib, like, what happens to it? We did not, like, donate it to Goodwill or anything like that and have someone else have the issue. But, you know, there's lots of, might buy a phone on eBay or.
Ms. IoT, that's really an interesting point. If devices are going to be connected moving forward, should like Consumer Product Safety Commission put in a requirement for a kind of red light recall notice on the device?
If
that the manufacturer could send a recall notice for any unsafe device, that'd be amazing.
There's the ability to do that. There's also the ability to track it. So like the database that tracks this stuff could be a lot more accurate. So they could actually see where these devices are when they...
That's going to freak people out. Connect. Knocking on your door. Hello, it's the crib police. We understand you have a recalled crib in this house. What else do they know about me?
Well, I mean, you have to know that if you've got a connected device, you know that is like not that I would cheat on a review, but I'm highly aware when I'm testing a device that is connected that everything I'm seeing, the company is also seeing. So if I write about it,
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, it's again, I'm testing everything, so it doesn't bother me, but it is. It's like a seventh set of eyes on everything.
When I was a TV critic, I did have a very strict rule. I would not fast forward between... I mean, this was hell when they had 14-hour miniseries like AD. But it also meant that I didn't rewind the tapes until I sent them back. I said, oh, you can make sure I watch this piece of crap.
I like that you had actual tapes.
I know.
How quaint.
Not only that, Stacey, 3/4-inch tapes. 1 hour maximum each. So AD arrived with... 14 Bible-sized containers to get the mini series.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
rough.
Old school.
Hard work.
And you made sure to watch all the commercials.
No, there were no commercials in it. It was, you got your rough cuts and things.
So then what were you not fast-forwarding through? I guess I missed that part.
They would send me a tape before it was on the air.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, so it was a preview.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is the old days, son.
Back in those days.
Back in my day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a Laserdisc player, and halfway through a movie, I had to wait because it had to flip over to the other side. So there. This is bad in my day.
Uncle Jason.
Yes. Yeah, I feel bad for Samsung. I think they're doing, and I think that the kind of the tricky part is that they really wanted to do things quickly and swiftly because they had researched how, effective product recalls are done, and usually it involves the company responding very quickly. The unfortunate thing is they missed the fact that they needed to make sure that they coordinated this with the proper organizations, and they did not do that, and in doing so, it ended up making everything a lot more confusing.
I see. I wonder, because they seem to be acting on their own, saying, problem, but then the government issued an official recall. That's why?
Yep, that's exactly why. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission basically, there was a longer delay because they essentially had to analyze and undo to a certain degree what Samsung had already, the wheels that they'd already put into motion, because they had to then come in and literally be the ones to clear whatever the solution is. Those devices that are being sent out, are those good replacement devices? Is replacing a device a good alternative? Is that sufficient enough for consumers? Or, do we need to do something different? Samsung had already made a lot of those determinations prior to letting them know that anything had happened. And so that's why it took longer. So, but they really wanted to do good on their customers, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I guess rushing the product through in a way that's unsafe
Not a good thing either, right? I guess the big question is, in doing so, did they know? And I'm guessing no, but I guess I don't know how it works behind the scenes. But did they know that there was a potential, that there was a possibility?
I can't believe they did. I can't.
No, they would not. I mean, they're having to sell off assets to pay for this recall. That is, they knew,
really?
That would be like. Yeah, they were. What did Samsung just bought? Just sold?
No, they did. You're right. I read that yesterday briefly. They sold a few different assets. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one for sure. I guess I've just seen Fight Club one too many times, where you realize there's the level of like calculated risk, and it's like, well, does this outweigh that? If so, then it's worth taking the risk. I guess you never know, but they probably didn't know enough to prevent it.
Oh, so Samsung sold its shares in Seagate, Rambus, and Sharp. Oh, and also ASML, which is a semiconductor manufacturing company.
Wow.
So, I don't know if all of those things went towards paying for the recall, but they did blame it on that, which is a pretty significant step.
Yeah, for sure.
Indeed.
Let's take a quick break and thank another sponsor of this episode of This Week in Google, and that is Wealthfront. You invest for the long term, for your family's financial health, for your own financial health. But doing that, I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world. In fact, it can be very difficult, especially if you're trying to do it the right way. There's so many moving parts. It's complex. It's time consuming. That's where Wealthfront comes in. Traditional advisors charge huge fees, between 1% to 3% of what they manage. But with Wealthfront, you pay 0.25% a year. That's 25 basis points. Zero commissions, no hidden fees, which comes out to around less than $5 a month to invest a $30,000 account. There are no additional charges for any of Wealthfront's services. With Wealthfront's new portfolio review, you can actually see if your portfolio is at risk, how diversified your investments are, what you're losing to fees. You can even minimize your taxes. And you can get started investing today with as little as $500 to kick it off. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. And once you do, it goes right to work. It starts monitoring your portfolios around the clock, takes action as soon as an opportunity arises. Wealthfront is transparent. It's accessible. You can view and track all your accounts in one single place. Wealthfront can also track both your Wealthfront and your non-Wealthfront bank and brokerage accounts. And they're going to provide all of that in a summary of all your assets to you. You can also see every trade that Wealthfront makes on your behalf in your dashboard, on your desktop, or with their mobile app. Wealthfront's process is based on Nobel Prize-winning academic research. It's the best investment practices are employed here. We've heard from many Twit fans who've used Wealthfront, and they write in because they love how they can diversify their portfolios. They're buying stocks from in-demand companies that we're talking about all the time on this show, and all the shows that we do, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, all commission-free. Wealthfront recently introduced their 529 college savings plan that allows you to invest after-tax dollars, much like a Roth IRA, and save for your child or your grandchild's higher education expenses. Wealthfront manages almost $3 billion in client assets. It's growing rapidly every day, so you have no reason to wait. Check it out for yourself. Invest in your future today with Wealthfront. All you have to do is visit www.wealthfront.com/twig. And you go there, you sign up, you get a free personalized investment portfolio. You're going to see the customized allocation that they recommend for your profile. And just for Twit listeners, if you sign up to invest, Wealthfront will manage your first $15,000 entirely free of charge for life. Join the many Twit fans who've seen huge success with Wealthfront and claim your offer today at wealthfront.com/twig. That's T-W-I-G. So this is... Let's see here. Do we want to talk about trolls or election?
Oh, I wanted to talk about same difference. Yeah, basically.
Basically. What were you saying?
Sam? I was going to say I wanted to talk about the profile on Ruth Porat from Fortune, just because there's a lot of really great information in there about like the fate of Alphabet and kind of that shift. But
okay, go for it, because I do not know that I read that one. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's riveting.
But apparently I need to. Okay.
Well, it starts off with this, you know, she slips on some ice. She's on her way to spin class, slips on some black ice and breaks her shoulder. And apparently for 2 days, she walks around like postponing surgery so she can make an earnings call at Morgan Stanley.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's hardcore.
Yeah.
But it's... Basically, I encourage people to read it because it's a really nice look at kind of some of the things that are happening inside the other bets divisions at Alphabets that we've seen kind of some of the like Google Fiber cutting costs, Nest, like Tony Fadell leaving, kind of all of these things. This kind of explains some of the back end stuff that's happening. So it's talking about the other bets businesses being billed for some of the company resources. So, like legal counsel, human resources, and PR are now these other bets companies can use the Alphabet services, but Alphabet's charging them, which is a very corporate, kind of old school corporate thing to do and not very Google-like. Mm-hmm. So I thought this whole thing was kind of a really interesting look at Google trying to grow up. And I wondered if you guys had thoughts on if this is the right way to do it.
Full disclosure is I'm a nano Google shareholder. If you were a shareholder, would you feel better about the company knowing that she's in this powerful position?
It depends on what I think Google is. Am I investing in Google for like their incredible short-term profits based on advertising, or am I investing in Google for the long term?
Really, really good question. All right. So which way does she come down in that world?
You could argue that it's both. Because you can't, like, I guess then the question is this sort of accountability going to hurt their progress for the long term, or is it just kind of shutting down things that are silly? I think it's probably a smart thing to do, to be honest. I think some of the things in Silicon Valley where people are like, I'm going to throw a lot of money at a crazy idea and see if it flies. It sounds good. Some things have come of it, but I don't think a little discipline is bad, I guess.
I agree.
Yeah, it seems like the promise of these long shot bets. For the longest time anyways, it seemed like we were willing to kind of go along for the ride with Google and be like, oh, well, yeah, if anyone could do it, you know, just taking Google as an example, Google could do it because they've got more money than they need. And, you know, they've got all the resources, but it seems to be turning into kind of a realization that even with all that money, it's still incredibly hard to pull a lot of this stuff off. And Google, you know, Google dreams big. That doesn't necessarily mean that Google can't dream big, but by focusing a little bit, maybe that's a good way to make sure that some of them happen and are executed as opposed to all of them not, or whatever the case may be.
So yeah. That's it. I liked the profile. I liked the writing. Yes, I used to work at Fortune, but I was like, that's pretty cool. Nice. So we can talk about trolls now. Or elections.
That sounds fun. Jeff, you pick this time. Which one do you want?
You guys know better. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about election first here. It really seems like, well, if you didn't know, there's a big election coming up in the U.S. And technology is very infused this time around. I feel like in years past, you know, the internet played into different facets of the election in different ways. This seems to be the first U.S. election that I can remember where social media is not just this kind of tangential thing on the outsides of it, but actually totally tied into the process to a certain degree. Case in point, Google, Facebook, they're all basically getting involved in things like the upcoming debates. They're going to be offering data to moderators leading up to kind of help plan for these events, as could be expected. Facebook is also going to be helping to source questions during the town hall debates. There's going to be Facebook Live broadcasts from the events. Snapchat Live stories are happening from the events. They're all kind of getting involved in these debates, kind of making the town hall just a little bit broader. I don't know if that actually means that. Oh, great. Stop wagging.
I don't want to make any political statements. I won't make any political statements. I just want to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to try my best to not make any political statements too. But I don't know. Is this good? Is this? I mean, I suppose it makes sense because our world is, you know, social and technology is such a big part of what we do nowadays. So it makes sense to include those voices in the process. But
the next president of the United States thinks so. Yes, she's nodding her head. Yes. All right.
Audio listeners have no idea what you're talking about. That might be a good
Jeff
thing.
Jeff was just making a political statement sartorially.
Yeah, just ignore this.
Yeah. Look the other way.
I'll get in such trouble.
What do you think? Good idea?
Oh, sorry. You asked a question.
No, it's all good.
I distracted Stacey.
I'm sorry. Were you engaging us in debate? All right. Was your question basically social media? Should we be using it?
Well, no. Or? No, I think is so. Can social media be counted upon to take something like an election debate process and keep it, I don't know, keep it focused?
No.
No.
No, as much as I love it, as much as it matters. You know, we have, that's why politics and trolls are the same topic. You know, we've reached this point where I crave civility. I crave some way to get a decent conversation going. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard now. And you know, I'm not sure what to do about it. And this election, I mean, how do I say this without getting in trouble? because I am clearly partisan. I mean, the full disclosure, if you did, for those of you on audio, is I'm just so you know, before I go further, I'm not making this. I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. If you still follow me on Twitter, you know that for sure. But okay, so that's my perspective, which is important to say. Journalism, you know, professional journalism has failed miserably. We have an ill-informed electorate, and it's our fault. It's our job to inform. We didn't inform. So how do we expect social media to come along and make up for what professional journalists have done horribly? And, you know, the other thing about this world is I think journalism also has done a terrible job of reflecting certain parts of America. And you know, including, let's obviously, African-Americans and Latinos and women and other groups are long ill-reflected, but so are, in this election, we're learning, underemployed, angry white men, because that's the breeding ground for Trump. And so media have done a terrible job. And how we expect social media to come along and without any systems, without any structure to fix that, they're not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, what we in media need to do is to better inform those conversations. What we in media need to do is to better reflect those communities and their concerns and give them greater respect. I'm writing a post right now. I'm actually playing with the idea of saying that if liberals want to fix things in this country, they should fund the creation of quality conservative media so that you do have people feeling reflected and feeling as if their concerns are paid attention to. Sorry, you asked me a simple question. You're going to get me to go off on a soliloquy.
Yep.
But I just think we've got to learn some lessons after this election, and it's a huge problem. And we see the debate after. I'm sure you talked about the napalm photo on Facebook when I was gone last week. But there are those in my field who say Facebook is media. It should act like media. It should operate under our standards. And I say, no, Facebook's not media. Facebook's a connection machine. It's something entirely different. It doesn't have a responsibility in the same way we think we do. Nonetheless, Facebook has an opportunity to better inform people and to figure that out and to expose us to things and so on and so forth. So it's a really complex question about a time in this country when huge institutions like media are changing, when you know, a renegade can come along, pardon me, and take over a political party and utterly, utterly change it. These are big changes. So sorry for the soliloquy, but I'll end it there.
The soliloquy is what I was hoping for, Jeff. Thank you.
That was lovely. Yeah. I will say, what can I say after that? I will say that I'm glad that Google and Facebook are using their platforms to give people access to this debate that may not otherwise have it, and to bring people into the process. Like, I do feel like maybe they're not better informed, but people are more involved when politics reach out to them through these platforms. I will say that I totally agree that it is not just this election. Previous elections have been the same way. It is hard to get any sort of politician to talk substantively about anything during an election season. I know it feels
this
like
it's worse in so many ways.
And, you know, it is worse, but it's not unfounded that this happens.
No. It's a progression, but it's a progression for them. Oh, sorry. May I interrupt this message for a quick question? I thought when you got to 7, you wouldn't get this damned upgrading every application message.
No, it does that.
I thought that was the promise. We were going to get rid of that.
Leo's did not do that. Mine did not do that.
Mine did.
And were you on the? I'm thinking maybe the difference is the developer preview. Were you on the developer preview prior?
I was not.
Not on this phone.
Okay, we were. At least I know I was, and I'm pretty certain Leo was. So maybe that's the difference. Yes, that was one of the things that they said you would not get in Nougat, but that might be. I don't know. It might be tied to getting a new device.
Maybe get it the first time. Maybe the second time won't do it. Okay, I'm sorry, Stacey.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I hate that
screen. Yeah, that screen is brutal.
Oh, I despise it. Right. So what do we do about this? How do we return to civility in this country? I think we've got to learn better.
I think with the cat is out of the bag. We are moving to a who's the character? A Zaphod Beeblebrox from Hitchhiker's Guide. So our elections are going to be purely theatrics. I mean, you caught hints of this in Trump saying, you know, the offers to what it wasn't Mike Pence. It was another VP candidate. And he was like, you know, you get to actually deal with Congress.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can deal with all international and foreign things. What is that kind of or domestic and foreign affairs?
Exactly. Oh, okay. You be president. I'll wander around.
But I'm going to run all the hotels. Okay? Deal?
So, I mean, maybe it's really cynical. Maybe it's just reality. I feel like we've been moving this way forever. Politics are now sound bites and who looks best on television. And if you're lucky, you're going to get someone who actually cares about this and is good at it. If you're not, you're going to hope that there are people behind the scenes that are supporting them that are actually lucky and or know what they're doing and good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So there's the social kind of media getting involved in the election, the debates itself. But then there's also kind of the technology companies, like you were saying, Stacey, who are empowering people to get involved, which is the other important component here. YouTube announced today the Vote IRL, Vote in Real Life campaign, to basically kind of get young people to the polls. And they're enlisting some top YouTube talent to basically record 1 minute and 34 second videos to raise awareness leading up to the national kind of voting registration day, which is the September 27th. So that's next week. And basically it's a minute 34 because Google says it takes 1 minute, 34 seconds to register to vote. So really kind of driving the point home for younger potential voters.
You know,
I went to
Bethlehem, PA, which is swing state, last week, and I've gone to Pennsylvania twice to volunteer. In both cases as registering voters, which is God's work in any case, so it's fine. And so I sat outside the Bethlehem, PA library. Now, Bethlehem, PA, by the way, is a city made by Bethlehem Steel. It couldn't be more labor in its heritage. And there's more than two colleges there, so there's a bunch of, you know, commie pinko academics there. I was amazed at the number of people who were Republican, which is fine. It's free country. It's fine. And we're voting for Trump. I saw enthusiastic Hillary voters who told me they were scared to put bumper stickers in their cars. And I know one Trump voter who also got something thrown at his car because of his Trump bumper sticker. It's not just virtual. This is happening now. There's a fear of the discussion and the discourse around. I had shruggy voters, but what disturbs me most is that people said, no, I'm going to vote. The curled lip sneer, and especially young people. I used every persuasive skill I had to get some young people to register, and I don't think they're going to show up at the polls. So I don't think just saying, hey, get out and vote, I'm famous, so you should vote like me, it's a bigger problem than that.
I think if you want people to register to vote, that's fine, but I think those efforts would be much better directed at something like there's a poll or an effort to get companies to sign on to give people 2 hours off so they can go vote during the week. If we could get not just tech companies, but everyone to push for something like that, that's probably better than 1,000, you know, rock the vote-esque YouTube videos.
Stacey, that's a great point. Do you know, have any of the tech companies come up with that policy?
A lot of them have. I was just going to check if Google has signed the... I'm trying to remember what it's called.
There is something. I saw that a few weeks back. What was that?
We're like,
Google Foo, don't let me down. Yeah, I can't remember exactly who, but there are tech companies doing that right now.
I would also love, like in Texas, they've changed the early voting laws and restricted it somewhat. And then they've also changed the number of places where you can go vote. In an effort to reduce minority voting, I'll be honest, that's what it's about. And I would love to get proactive notifications, like one or two on my phone saying, hey, today you can go vote at these places. You know, just as just a little notification in the morning. And I remember, you know, Uber did this when in Austin, when we had the kick out Uber effort. And as a private company, they were advocating for the law they wrote, basically. And they did. They were very, like, aggressive. They were like, remember, vote today, vote today. And I think if you had something like that, because a lot of people, they're like, oh, yeah, I got to vote. Oh, yeah, I got to vote. But it's one thing to be like, oh, hey, I need to vote. And, oh, I'm right over here. And Mm-hmm. There's a polling place near me. So I don't know. I feel like there's, this is window dressing. This like YouTube star is telling people to vote. I mean, that's all it is.
Marginally effective. Was Rock the Vote very effective in its effort? I mean, I remember it as a kid, and I mean, when I was younger, I'm trying to remember if it was the reason that I ever registered to vote, but I don't think
that was the first election I voted in, but I'm one of those weird goody two shoes types people. So I like, I was excited to vote and I was going to vote and I did vote right when I turned 18. So yeah. I can't tell you if it was effective or not.
Yeah. Hard to know if it had anything to do with it. For me too, because I feel like I was pretty charged up to vote regardless, but I don't know if part of that influence came from the fact that all my favorite rock bands were saying I should vote.
Yeah, well, then that's it.
See?
That's... Which was the first presidential election for each of you?
Clinton.
Yeah, it would be Clinton. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is. It's called Take Tuesday, asking employers around the country to make November 8th a vacation day on their corporate calendar.
There you go.
Have
any major tech companies signed up?
Casper, ThrillList, DataXu, let's see. Hunter Walker has a Google Doc, so I'm looking at the Google Doc. So here I am loading the Google Doc. Let's see if we can find Google. What?
I can't get past the lock screen on my phone.
Oh. No, maybe you're one of those people.
Oh, no. It's a 6P.
Then you're not one of those people. What I don't see Google on here. Lipple, Good, Giphy, GetDusk, Guild Education. No, Google is not on here.
There we go.
Oh, wait. Maybe Alphabet is. Hold on.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes more sense.
I don't see Alphabet on here.
Mm.
Oh, now California requires employers to give time off. So that's
in order to,
that varies. But right. in That's fine, but it's one thing to be like, hey, you can do it, and it's another to establish a culture where it's cool to go vote or acceptable.
Yep. Yep.
Like at GigaOM, you know, someone would be like, oh, you know, I'm going to go vote. And, you know, somebody would be like, I don't know if I want to. We're like, go vote!
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's more effective than YouTube stars, probably. All right. Before we get to our final ad and do picks and tips and stuff like that, I don't know. Is there anything in here that we didn't talk about that you were really charged up to talk about? Anything that I mean? There's a lot of stuff in here that we did not talk about, but I think we stuck pretty close to the Google front today.
Oh, you did a great job, boss.
Yeah, you actually did better than we did, because I think we talked about Google like most of the time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Which is unusual for us.
All right, well, let's stop while we're ahead. I'm going to thank Blue Apron, who's the sponsor of this episode, and then we can come back and we can do tips and tricks and pointers and whatever we have, numbers, all that kind of stuff. So let's take a break. Thank Blue Apron, the sponsor of this episode. This is the part of the show where I get super duper hungry because I ate kind of a lunch, but I didn't eat a Blue Apron lunch, and I kind of wish I did. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while also supporting a more sustainable food system. And in doing so, setting the highest standards for ingredients and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron's going to make you a better chef. That's kind of the beauty of Blue Apron, and I've loved learning how to cook better by using Blue Apron. It delivers seasonal recipes along with fresh, high-quality ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Every meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card that you get to keep after the fact so you can remake these recipes if you want. Pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You'll save time and money. You know, when you're going to the grocery store, you're paying a lot. It's 60% more expensive than what you pay with Blue Apron, basically. If you spend a lot of time and money eating out or going to high-end grocery chains, well, now you're going to spend under $10 per person for healthy home-cooked meals. You can customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences and choose a delivery option that fits your needs and your schedule. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Blue Apron delivers to 99% of the continental U.S. Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their community of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. Seafood is sourced sustainably. Beef is raised humanely. Chickens are free range. Pork is raised naturally. And regenerative farming practices are used for produce. And, you know, they're only sending you the exact amount that's required for that particular recipe. So in doing so, Blue Apron reduces food waste. And it also keeps the recipes really kind of specific. You don't end up with extra and have to figure out what you do with that extra, you know, little teaspoon of sugar or whatever the case may be. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron brings you the best. Blue Apron not only supports a more sustainable food system, it also supports happy and healthy families, because when you cook together, you build strong family bonds. Research actually shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. New recipes are being created every week by Blue Apron's culinary team. They're not repeated within a year, so you can get paprika spiced shrimp and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. You're starting to salivate, I can tell. Eggplant and chickpea. Is it tagine? Tagine with tagine maybe with Islander. Tagine. Ah, okay. Now I got to start
Elgin
over.
Elgin would know that fella.
Tagine.
Elgin would get that.
Eggplant and chickpea tagine with Islander pepper, tomato, and couscous. There's summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes, corn, and summer sweet pepper, and spicy hoisin chicken stir fry with baby bok choy and sesame ginger cucumber salad. This sounds really good. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. Visit blueapron.com/twit. And we thank Blue Apron for their support of This Week in Google. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. My favorite of the meals that would be in some of the reads for Blue Apron was chicken tinga tacos, because it's a lot of fun to say. And I still have yet to make a tinga taco, but I want to because it's named so.
It's barbecue tacos.
Oh, that's all.
Tinga is barbecue sauce with Mexican food, basically.
Still sounds delicious.
I mean, I'm a Texan. We're like, wait, barbecue plus Mexican?
I had never heard of tinga tacos before Blue Apron. And even not knowing that it was barbecue, it still sounded delicious just based on the way the words sounded. So I got to make it. And the good thing is you can go to their site. You can actually find all the recipes and try them for yourself. So there you go. They get their chicken tinga taco recipe. Okay, so let's do tips and numbers and all that stuff. Jeff, why don't we start with you? What's your number?
So this afternoon, Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg went on Facebook Live, of course, to announce a major initiative. They've promised to give away most of their money in their lifetimes. They're giving away $3 billion to cure disease.
Wow.
A better thing to do, I can't imagine. However, I imagine commentators will say that there's a bit of hubris to this, because $3 billion is a hell of a lot of money, more than we have, any of us. It can be spent over 10 years, but the budget for, you know, the government's efforts in this line are $31 billion per year. So I'm not sure, you know, what $3 billion is a generous gift. It's an important gift. What I don't know yet is how they have the belief that that $3 billion is going to be able to do this. And as Zuckerberg said, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to get sick, but they want to make diseases curable and manageable.
They also are taking everything and making it open source.
Which is all of this is great. All of this is great. But what I don't know yet is how is $3 billion going to do it.
Man, that really puts things into perspective.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That is insane. I never would have known that. That's crazy. Yeah, that's a
there's other comparison. That's a drop the government in the bucket. Does, you know, there's other things too. Yeah, but it's a very hard problem. Engineers love hard problems.
Yeah.
But I know that the tech naysayers out there are going to say, they can do what God couldn't do. You know, so I'm hopeful, but I'm not looking forward to the conversation over the next 72 hours.
Wow. And hey, give something's better than nothing, so at least
that's all. I'm supportive. I think it's great. But there's a lot more to come, obviously.
All right, well, we will be following that. Stacy, what you got?
I have a recipe for you guys. Now, the challenge with all of my recipes are they're device specific, so if you have these devices, you'll be excited. If you don't, go buy them. I've talked about this before. This involves three things. So get ready. The first is a MyQ garage door opener from Chamberlain. I bought mine for about $100. It's, I think, $130 right now at Best Buy. So this is an attachment that you put on your garage door, and you can use it to remotely open and close your garage door. And you can also see and get notifications if your garage door has been open for a while. I love that about it because we're moving in and out and our garage door is almost always open. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, close it. Okay, so that's part one. Part two is a Wink Hub. So the Wink Hub, it's about $50. We think a new one's coming out soon, but we don't know. So you may want to wait a little. And then the third item you need are Lutron lights. And the reason you would have all of these things, or if you have all of these things, what I've done is I've set up a recipe using the Wink app to open whenever my garage door opens after a certain time at night, my porch lights come on. And this is super handy because even if I'm opening it to leave, it's nice. Then I've left the house and my porch lights are on. So yay. Or if I'm coming home late and they're dark, then when I walk outside, because I have to walk outside my garage and go up the stairs to get to my front door, then I've got light. So it's a nice app or a nice recipe. If you're going to do it, the Wink app is sometimes a little bit wonky. So if it doesn't work for you, you may have to divide your before midnight, your night into before midnight and after midnight. So that's your pro tip for you if you're actually going to do this.
That is cool. How connected is your home? I mean, I know that IoT is kind of your thing. Do you practice this to like an insane degree at home? Is your home super connected?
My home is super connected, but it's not convenient. As my husband will be the first to tell you, like, this one is something that works.
Right.
But as you can see, like, it requires a lot of things to do this sort of stuff. Yeah. And like to get this one working, I actually had to call Wink because they had a glitch in their system. So if I tried to make my night last the whole night instead of dividing it up into two chunks, at midnight, it was like, oh, I'm done. I'm no longer going to work. So the whole recipe just didn't work and I didn't know why. So I had to call them and figure it out. So this is why I'm telling you, because if you have these things, this is how you can make something like that happen.
That's cool.
The other because y'all are Google people. The nice thing about Wink is they actually show up. Some of the devices that are on my Wink show up in my Google. I would call it my Google Now screen, but now it's something else. It shows up as a card on my, what do we call this now? Not the Google Now screen?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
I don't know. All right. I mean, the assistant screen, I don't know what it's going to end up being. It's still Google Now.
The assistant screen.
Yeah, it's still Google Now, but it's changing.
The status of some of my devices, it'll say things like, hey, we notice you're not home and your garage door is unlocked. And then I'm like, oh, crap. And I'll hit it and it'll lock it straight from that screen. It's totally unprompted. I didn't do anything with it.
That's nice.
Woo.
That's nice.
I imagine there's going to be a sequel to Soylent Green. Made from your house, where everything is controlled. Everything is controlled, and there'll be these kind of iron doors that come popping down, and alerts that go up, and cameras that go around. I just imagine you and your dotage having everything you need for a perfectly paranoid, but yeah, it's oddly convenient existence.
Paranoid and that's probably accurate, convenient. Jeff.
Yeah, 20 years. I like this a lot.
20 years from now.
What I like about it is it's the all powerful Stacey.
Yeah.
Sitting on her couch can do anything.
That's anything. I really want that to be the case.
I never have to move. Exactly. This is the greatest vision that you can be in your fortress.
Yeah. It's kind of the promise of the technology that we have right now is to make all of the things in our life easier. But you know, I mean, and I'm sure you would agree. The promise of things like IoT doesn't always bear out in practice, you know. And
I can't even
get early stages. It's learning. It's learning stages right now.
You know what'll happen, Stacey? See, what'll happen is you'll have your fortress set up. I'll try to be doing the same thing, but I'm on a Google Apps account, so none of it will work for me.
It's true.
Jeff, I'm on a Google Apps account.
Trips. I just went in. I can't figure out how to get Trips going.
All right, Trips. Good segue. Let me show you what you're missing, Jeff. I'm sorry that you can't get this. Because it's actually really cool. So Google someday, Jeff, don't worry. Google. It actually makes sense for Google Apps because, you know, it's business tied to your business account. You do a lot of travel and business. I'm sure there's a lot of overlap there. So what does it do? Google Trips basically trawls through your search history. Okay, that needs to stop. Your search history, your – hi, Megan. Megan is alloing me right now. She must know that this is appearing on the show right now. Just doing some research for Tech News Today. I have.
Oh, go to Austin. We can see how good it is.
So this is okay. So this is from back in 2010. You can see the date there, 2010. Back then, I went to Austin with Twit for South by Southwest. Okay. So here is – so basically it's gone through my email, my Gmail account, and found all of the travel-y things that I have and put them in here. Now, I don't really have a whole lot in here from Austin other than probably reservations. So, yeah, stayed at the Four Seasons Hotel in Austin. And you know, I could get
– oh, geez, Jason.
You know, nothing but the best.
Boy. Yeah.
I've stayed at the Motel 6, but you.
Yeah.
That was actually a really nice hotel.
Where'd you have dinner, Jason?
I have to say, that was a really nice hotel. I'm very fond of that hotel.
Yes, it is.
Megan's not sending me stickers. Anyway, so you get all the information about your reservation. If I had flight information, which, you know, I think in this case it was tied to my Twit account, then it would go there. You get information about what you can do while you're there. So while I'm in Austin, I've got top spots here, of course, for you. Indoors, you know, if you want to check out museums or whatever. Outdoors, botanical gardens, zoos, that sort of stuff. Things that are kid-friendly. All these things you can kind of look at in advance and go, oh, yeah, I definitely want to check out the Hamilton Pool. I'll go ahead and favorite, right? As I favorite things, they appear in saved places so that I can remember them later. Now, where this gets really kind of interesting and powerful, and I'm not seeing it for Austin, I don't know why, so let's go into something else here and see if I get that day plans. So if I've saved something for in day plans, let's see if I have saved places for Las Vegas. If I go into day plans, I'm given both prearranged, predetermined kind of like things that you can do, an order of sites and experiences that you can do while you're there for, you know, an extended period of time, let's say. But I can go ahead and create, and it will take into account the things that I've saved and the things that it thinks in that area I should check out. And it'll create a full day itinerary in this case. I could tweak that to say I'm only going to be there in the afternoon, and it would kind of narrow it down and be like, okay, well, in that case, this, you know, these five locations are where you should go and in this order so that it makes sense geographically, you know, moving from one point to the other. And so then you can, you know, you can save it and that's part of your itinerary going forward. And what makes it even more powerful is when you're going to this far off land, in this case, Vegas, where I'm sure connectivity is plentiful, but if you're going somewhere else where maybe you're in the mountains or whatever, in, you know, overseas where you don't have data, you can set it for offline, and all that information that you've searched in here, stored, everything is stored within this little packet so that when you get there, you don't need connectivity. You can just pull from here.
I'd sure like to have that.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be nice.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, it's really nice. It's a cool tool, and I have to imagine it's going to continue getting better. Again, it relies on information that you're willing to allow Google to hold on. For you, onto for you.
I have no problem with that. Google has a problem with me, apparently.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Google. I went into my apps administrator account, and I'm already set up so that it's supposed to just automatically say, okay, anything new. But it ain't there.
Nothing.
Aww.
Someday.
Yeah, no, that is frustrating because I've got a Google Apps, and I just got, if I do my apps account, it didn't work. So I'll go in and administer my account so it does, but I travel both personally and for business, so I'm kind of like, I want both of them to be
the same.
Yes, just
or combined.
This is Google, I gave you permission to mush.
You know, how many years Google should be able to you should be able to give Google permission to say I am the same person and combine these things. It's good for Google. It's good business for Google because they would know more about you as a person and confirm you.
But if you're a company selling people Google Apps, yeah. If you're If you're a company that's administering this account, maybe you don't want Google to have some of this information.
Okay, but when you do give it permission, it doesn't make any difference. We are sorry, but you do not have access to Google Trips yet. Please contact your Google Apps Administrator for more information. Hey, Apps Administrator. Yes, Mr. Jarvis, what would you like? I'd like to have Trips. Okay, let me see if I can get it for you. Oh, sorry, you are out of luck.
Oh, well, no, it's actually pulling up some of my Trips.
Are they pulled from your business account? Yeah, so if you ever forwarded it to your personal account, it would pick that up and it would put it in.
I know forward my personal stuff to my business account, I think.
Well, sometimes I get travel information, you know, set up for Twit, and in order to make sure that I have it, you know, in my personal account, I'll just forward the email over just so that I have it there and start just so it's in both places, and it picked up those in Trips. So I don't know if that's what's happening.
I travel a lot.
Yeah. Well, then this is probably right up your alley. This is good for anyone that's traveling a lot. Especially if you're going to some place like that doesn't have any connectivity. That's awesome to have that stuff accessible. That, I believe, as they say, is that. This is a lot of fun. We stuck pretty darn close to Google today and had a great time doing it. Let's start with you, Stacey. I know you have the IoT podcast at iotpodcast.com. You've got the Internet of Things newsletter at stacyonIoT.com. What am I missing here? What else you got?
I have every 2 weeks, I've got a smart home column in PC Mag, if you want to read that. I had one come out today where I answer readers' questions about various smart home stuff. And I actually did a different recipe in there for connecting your doorbell to your lights.
Nice. So somebody rings your doorbell and your lights turn on?
Yes. It's for somebody asked me a question because they have a deaf sibling. And they were like, I'd like to help them out.
Yeah, that's a really smart solution for that.
I want somebody to ring the doorbell and it starts pouring the Cabernet.
Yeah,
come on in.
Somebody rings the doorbell and the champagne pops in the other room.
Yeah. Visitors, yay!
It's a party. Music starts playing.
Yeah.
Jeff, we could make that happen.
I know you could.
Have a disco ball in the living room turn on.
The steel shutters come down and nobody else can come in.
This is a closed off party. Thank you, Stacey. This is a lot of fun. Really appreciate it. Jeff, what about you? You've got BuzzFeed.com.
BuzzMachine. I wish I owned BuzzFeed. Oh, that'd be all right.
Wait a minute. Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry, it's in the dock. I just did a total Ron Burgundy right there. It says BuzzFeed. BuzzMachine.
That's the only one. No, that's pretty much it for now.
That's it for now. All right. Yeah. At Jeff Jarvis on Twitter to follow.
And Jeff. Medium / at Jeff Jarvis too. I do a lot of stuff there.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Good job, boss.
Thanks, man. This is fun. I've got another 2 weeks in the hot seat, so I'm looking forward to it. Did I see one of you is out next week? Is that right?
I'm in California.
Stacey.
Oh, yeah. This is the trouble week when we're probably both out. I apologize. I've been a bad boy this month, but it's just a bad confluence.
That is okay. We will figure it out. I know that we've already got, we have Ron Richards on the docket for next week. So we'll figure it out. Okay. We got you covered. You both take the week off.
You are unflappable. You lose your identity on the air and you just don't flap, man. You are amazing.
I had no choice. I had lost access to all my Google account. I really had no choice but to plow on. But hey, I got access back. So, what more could you ask for?
And thank you, Matt Cutts.
We learned, thank you to Matt Cutts and a whole lot of other people. We learned a lot of valuable, important lessons that day. Let's see here. Twig, This Week in Google, records every Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. You can always join live to watch the show at twit.tv/live. Of course, on demand at twit.tv/twig and pretty much everywhere you're going to find your podcast, both audio and video, all over the map. But that is it for this week on This Week in Google. We will see y'all next week. Take care, you guys.